Good morning, family. Hey. See, you're going to see a few more faces on stage today as we kind of fill out our maximum 10 here, and we're starting to figure some things out. We're going to try and add a few more elements as these weeks go on. But I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. We love you and we miss you. We'd love to give you a flower, a rose right now. Just imagining you entering and so we were praying this morning as a group and just thought, man, I can't wait till we're back together. But until then, just want to say we love you. You're special. And we have an opportunity just to worship together. But before we do, if you bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are in this place. We thank you, God, that you have given us the privilege to worship you in song, to hear your word preached and to receive from you, Lord, your heart, your very heart, God, as we receive your word in the message today. And God, may you be glorified as we just begin to shed this week's baggage and give ourselves freely to you in worship. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Stay.
worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep our focus on Jesus. He's our only need. We look up to you, God. This world, and I will lay them at your feet. Surrender every anxious thought for perfect peace. Your perfect peace. All the loved ones I hold dear. Hopes and dreams and all my fears, I will choose to trust your name in everything, in everything. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that Savior, all my life. Hallelujah, Lord, you are Lord of all, the Prince of Peace, mighty Savior. Worthy are you, God. Right now, Lord, I pray we would put our trust in you, fully knowing, Lord, God, you have done so much in our life. We have the testimony of your word that we can rely upon, knowing, God, you will do it again. Hallelujah.
See you.
still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me. Yeah. No, never fail. Never fail me. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you've never failed me, yeah. You've never, I will never forget you, Lord. That you've never failed me. Hallelujah. God, may we never forget your promises, Lord. You are there. You are real. You are true. Oh, you are good, Lord Jesus. Oh, you are good, Lord Jesus. Promises never fail.
I can hardly speak a peace so.
unexplainable. I can hardly think as you fall deeper still as you go. Some who are going through some times where maybe there's doubt, there's an uncertainty if God is even there. I understand that. It's tough to go through valleys and feel that God's not there at all. But that's the beauty of the body. We've got so many people we can speak to and know that God is true, God is real, God is there to meet us. And so we can sing a song like that, that He's good, because at some point we will get through whatever it is that we're going through. And we can celebrate and say, Lord, You are so worthy of it all. So worthy of it all. But in the midst of it, it's hard. It's hard to look up and look to God and say, okay, I trust You, because I know it's tough. I just want to encourage you right now. Allow your faith and your mind just to declare He is faithful. He is good. And I will look up to Him. Where You go, I will go. Where You stay, Lord, I will stay. Where You move, I will move. Because He has been faithful. We've seen Him do it before. He will do it again in your life. So, Father, right now we pray on this Mother's Day. It's a beautiful day outside. It's a reminder to us, God, that Your word is true. You are faithful and just. And I just want to encourage this. Those who are maybe struggling this morning with the thought that, God, I don't know. I don't know if You're there. Father, I pray right now for those individuals, God, You would make Yourself real to them. In Jesus' name. Maybe it's through, Lord, Your Holy Spirit. Maybe it's through Your Word. Maybe it's through someone that the Holy Spirit touches to speak to them. God, I pray that they would know. And that we would trust and continue to trust you through. Lord, I'm so grateful that we have the privilege every day to worship you. And I pray, God, that our hearts would continue to place you in the center, you on the throne. And it's in Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen. Amen. I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to you moms. And I'm going to say it again.
Gardening and spending time with her, helping her in the kitchen.
I like to go on walks with my mom.
I gotta say her hugs.
To go in the pool, play soccer sometimes, because when she does play soccer.
Well, I love to play board games with my mom.
Play in the backyard. Play box and Maddie and Mommy.
I like to walk with my mom. Sometimes we walk around the neighborhood.
Mother-daughter date.
What I love to do with my mom is watch TV.
My mother likes anything sweet, but she especially likes my carrot cake.
She really loves white chocolate too.
She loves my hugs.
Chocolate.
It's chocolate.
Probably chocolate, yeah.
It's either dark chocolate or normal chocolate.
Chocolate cake.
No, definitely hazelnut bliss.
Her favorite treat is probably clam dip or maybe red velvet cake.
Kimchi. Coffee.
Cookie. Yum, 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 yum.
Says things that aren't true.
Whenever I'm upset, she does this cheesy smile.
She tiptoes me, Daddy.
She sings.
Oh, yeah.
I love that she is very hardworking and loving.
She's confident and beautiful.
I love her hugs, her kisses.
What I love most about my mom is her sense of humor.
She hugs us and cuddles us at night.
My cares when I was a baby. I was sad and mommy cares a bit.
She's super caring for all of us.
She loves and cares for me.
Just how encouraging she is and her personality.
What about you?
I love my mom's hair. I really love her sarcasm.
I love her hugs.
She's very fun to play with.
And she's really pretty too.
She's always there to talk to.
She always keeps her promises.
How she's always there for us and supportive, and she's basically like the one in the house who does like the most stuff.
There's a lot of things that I like most about my mom. And there's, I don't know how many there are, and I'll never be able to count all of them.
3, 2, 1, Happy Mother's Day!
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 I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
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 Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day, Daddy and Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
On behalf of everybody at Abundant Life, Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, moms. Hope you're already enjoying a good morning today. And we just love you. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom. She always tunes in from Pleasanton. Mom, love you. And Happy Mother's Day to you and to Sandra. We love you very much. And the kids are so blessed to have you. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Such a unique day, but we love you no matter what. Let me just give you a couple of updates from what's going on this week, and then we're going to get right into our teaching. Please take the time to go to the website and fill out your connection card. It's really important, especially when we can't connect on a regular basis, for you to do that so that we can make sure that you're taken care of. We want to know if you're going through some really specifically hard times or if we can pray for you or provide for any of your needs. So make sure you fill that out and write any comments you have on that card. If you have a prayer need, you can put it on that same place on your card, or rather on the in the same dropdown on the website. So make sure you do that. We're still doing our West Valley Community Services food drive too. So make sure that you bring your food by, non-perishables in packages, no glass, no bottles, no things like that. Bring it by from 8 in the morning to 8 at night. And we filled up, I don't know how many 50-gallon barrels. I've lost count. So it's really, really doing great. Thanks for all of your help and all that you're doing to help feed people during this time. And one more thing I want to that's new I want to bring to your attention is that starting this week, once a week, I'm going to be filming some kind of what's going on behind the scenes at Abundant Life. Some of you may be wondering, well, what's the plan to open back up again? How are we going to do that? What about other programs that you maybe we could open up partially? And just different up-to-dates of what we're doing at the church. So make sure when you get that email and you get the link to click on that, that you'll pay attention to it. All right? Okay. Well, how's everybody doing? You surviving? You doing okay? It just keeps going on and on. You know, I'm struggling a little bit. My hair has not been this long in a long time. It's getting so shaggy. I need to get that tightened up. And how many of you have practiced the eye smile? You know what I mean, right? Because your face is covered by the mask, and how do you eye smile? How do you do that to let somebody know that your communication is good when you're at a store or something, but you're all masked up? It's just weird. The times we're in are just so strange. But anyway, I want to talk this morning about time. The transformation of your time management. Now, it's Mother's Day, and I know that there's a lot of you would love to spend time with your mothers, and you can't this year. And you probably are thinking through, man, I really wish I could have that time, or I wish I'd spent more time. And I know that some of you have even lost loved ones, and I want to call out, you know, right now, Lynette Andrade, whose mom just passed away just a couple of weeks ago. And our love just goes out to you, Lynette, and we love you and Safi. But it's hard this Mother's Day when maybe you've lost your mom. So there's all kinds of emotions, happy times, little struggles, a lot of struggles. But we're all thinking is time. I wish we had more time. I wish maybe we'd have spent our time better. And I'm hoping today that will help us to transform our thinking about our time. Remember, everything starts in the mind, everything. If you want to change your life, change your mind. And we've talked about changing the way we speak, our tongue, by changing our mind. We talked about changing our anxiety to peace through changing of our thinking. And now changing of our time management through how we change our thinking. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. It says this: teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of understanding. That's a powerful passage. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of understanding. If we take time to realize we've got only a certain number of days, and if we think about that, and then if we do that, we'll have a life that is wise and understanding. And I decided to take that literally this week. I actually numbered my days. Now, I'm going to be 59 next month, and upon that birthday, I'll have lived 21,535 days. That seems like a lot of days. Well, I also looked up the life expectancy of those in the United States. For men, the life expectancy is 73.4 years. For women, the average life expectancy is 80.1 years. So if that's the case, if I make it to average, I've only got 5,256 days left. I'm well into the fourth quarter of my days if I go to the average. Now, that's kind of sobering. But really, the truth, the fact of the matter is that I don't know if I've got 5,235 days, or if I've got 5 days, or if I've got 10 days, or if I've got another 15,000 days. In fact, I don't know. Neither do you. It's important for us to number our days because we don't know how many days we have ahead of us. Sir Walter Scott had this quote. He says, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff that life is made of." That's powerful. How many of us squander time when it's the life that we live and we don't know really how much life we have left? Let me ask you this question. You might want to answer in the chat bar on this one. But which most resembles you? Are you a time waster? Or are you a procrastinator? Or are you a right time or right thing, wrong time kind of a person? Or are you a really good time manager? Which one are you? Maybe there's a fifth or sixth or seventh bullet in your life that you can think of. But it's important to number our days aright, that we might live a wise life and a life of understanding. Well, this morning I want to give you three things today that will reveal whether or not you're a good time manager. And if you find that you're not, then we can make some correction today and really transform the way we spend this most valuable resource of time. I'm a good time manager if, number one, if I recognize time is a gift from God. You're a better time manager if you realize that time is a gift from God. Time management is the art of treasuring the use of time as a gift of God. Here's what the Bible says, Psalm 31, 14 and 15. "But I trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. I trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." In other words, God, my time is yours. You're the God of my time. You've given me this time. Have you ever said, "I can't believe my schedule," or "my calendar is running my life," or to someone, "I'm sorry, I just don't have enough time"? Are we totally missing the point here? My calendar, my schedule, my time. Listen, it's God's time. He's the one who has everything in his hands, and whatever time we have, that's what he's blessed us with. And here's what I know about considering time as a gift of God. First bullet point, that we each have a finite, unspecified amount of time. Every one of us. God knows how much time you have. You don't know how much time you have. Have you ever had somebody just suddenly, shockingly pass away? I have. Even recently, some dear friends passed away and there was no warning whatsoever. And it's heartbreaking when that happens because you think we've got so much time left, not knowing that that wasn't the case. That time was actually very, very short. You know, people that are in financial trouble often say, "Oh, if I just had more money, I wouldn't be in financial trouble." When the actuality is, it's not how much you have, it's how much you spend. And the truth is, if you would monitor your spending, you'd find that your financial troubles would be alleviated. Well, it's really the same with time. Some people say, "If I just had another few hours in a day, or another day in the week, or another month in the year." And the truth is, you probably wouldn't have any more freedom in your time than you do right now. Because it's not how much you have, it's how you use what God has given you. How come some people are able to get 3, 5, 10 times more out of their time than you do? I look at some people and I wonder, I go, "How are you doing all this when I can't seem to, you know, manage what I have?" You see, it's how we spend it. It's how we use the time that's really, really important. When I was younger, and most young people think they've got all the time in the world, and so there's lots of time wasting just, you know, doing this and doing that. And when you're young, it's because you think you've got all these years ahead of you, and maybe that's true, maybe that's not true. As we grow older, we start to really scrutinize a little bit more about the use of our time because we realize that we don't have as much left. For me, as I'm numbering my days, man, I'm less than 1/5. Of my days, or less than 1/4 of the days that I have, if I make it to average. So How do we think about this? I remember just the other day, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was talking to my son, Eric, and we were talking about our baseball trip. Some of you know, some of you don't know. He and I started wanting to go see all of the Major League Baseball parks together. And we started when he was 10, and I was like 41-ish, something in there. And we started, and right now it's taken us 19 years or so to get a little over half. Well, the other day I said, Eric, you know, we got to do another trip. It's been 2-3 years since we did one of our baseball trips. And it dawned on me, if we take the same amount of time to do the second half as we did the first half, I'll be 80 when we're done. And I thought, I may not make it to 80. What if we don't get there? I looked at him. I said, dude, we got to get on this. We got to start doing some trips. Because what if I'm not able? Anything could happen. So it kind of sobered me a little bit thinking about we need to make the most of our time because we don't know how much we have. So number one, you have an unspecified amount of time. It's our only unrenewable resource. You can spend money but make some more tomorrow. You can't spend time and make some more tomorrow. You get what you get. Second bullet point, time used for God's purposes pleases him. When you use the time, the unspecified amount of time, to please God, that's the purpose that you have in life. That's what he designed you for. God expects us to use our time, the time he gave us, for his purposes. We really do need to say, God, my time is in your hands. I want to do what you would do with my time. Think of your time like a GPS and how you program your destination in there, that you plot out where you think you want to go. You put in your leaving destination, but unless you put in the end, or not the destination, but the leaving point, but unless you put in the end, the thing can't work for you. You've got to know where you're headed. Where are you headed? Now, I don't know how my future is going to play out. Here's what I do know. If I'm living my life for God's purposes, I'm going to be all right. He's going to lead my steps. He's going to direct my path when I trust him and let him guide me in all things. Solomon in Ecclesiastes basically figured this out. The man who had all the money, all the power, all the control, anything he wanted, when he got to the end of trying to figure out the best use for his time, he arrived at this. It's not in making money. It's not in getting power. It's not in gaining material things. It's not in gaining, for him, women and relationships. He ended with this. It's to please God and to be content in everything God has given me. That's powerful truth. Why do we try to recreate our own scenario when the guy who's lived it is already telling us, go ahead, knock yourself out. You can try to do these things. It won't work. It's about pleasing God in everything we do. In your chat bar, maybe you could answer this question. Would you say right now the way you use time honors God or not? Are there some things you need to change because maybe the use of your time does not honor him? You know, you could be the greatest time manager in the world, but if you've got the wrong purpose, your time management is useless. You see, think of it as a runner. If you're the fastest runner on the world, but when you all line up to race and the gun goes off and you run the wrong way, you're never going to win, even if you're the fastest, because you're going in the wrong direction. What good is it if you're the best time manager if you're not using your time in a way that pleases God? You see, we've got to align our time management with his purpose. We've got to change the way we purpose our time management. You see, God doesn't see our time the way we do. God sees it from above the sphere of time. We're in time. He's not. You see, he sees time in relation to eternity. We see time in relation to right now. And the life we live on this earth. We're only going to be here for a little while. But that little while determines eternity. Not only for us, but for the people we love. The people that are in our lives. How is our time spent for his purposes affecting all of eternity? That's the way God wants us to think about time. So God has given us a set amount of time, and he wants us to use it for his purposes. And last bullet here. We are then accountable to God for how we spend the time that he has given us. Let's just stop for a minute and think. Just stop. Do a quick evaluation. Now, I know it's going to take more than a quick evaluation. But what are the things you need to change so that when you see God face to face, God will say, in regard to your time, well done, good and faithful servant. You used your time wisely. You numbered your days aright and used them for my purposes. Well done. You see, we talk about the parable of the talents a lot. You know, the landowner who gave the three servants, you know, 1, 3, and 5 talents. And then the owner came back and said, well, what'd you do with it? We often think about that as maybe money only. It isn't. It's about everything God has given us. How have you used the time? For some of us, we don't have as much time as others. That's just the truth. Some of us will have lesser years. Some of us will have a mid-range year. Some of us will live a long, long, good life into our 90s or even beyond. Who knows? The fact of the matter is, it's not about how much life you have. It's how you use the life you have. And God is going to hold us accountable for how we use the life he's given us. So our transformation step here. Live each day thankful to God for the gift of time or the gift of another 24 hours. I want to add on to that. Let's remember to use those 24 hours for his purposes. All right, number two. First, realize we have a finite, fixed amount of time. Number two, make the most of every opportunity. Time management is the art of getting the most out of every hour that we've been given. Ralph Waldo Emerson says this, this time, like all times, is a very good one if we but know what to do with it. This time is good, even this time of sheltered in place. Maybe not our favorite, maybe not the most comfortable, maybe a little bit frustrating, but if we know how to use our time, any time can be good. If we know how to manage, if we know how to use it for God's purposes. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 says this, be careful then how you live. When God says be careful how you live, you think we ought to pay attention? I do. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the times are evil. Let me read that again. Maybe you want to read it with me if you have your Bibles. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the times are evil. So you can either spend time or invest time. If I spend time, it's all about the immediate. I get what I spend. If I go to the store, I spend money, I get the immediate result. If I invest my money, I put it away for a better return for more money later. If you invest time for a greater return later than just spending it frivolously, you're going to find out that's a better use for your time. We can literally use our time now that will be an investment that will affect all of eternity. Or we can spend it, and once it's gone, it's gone. We may get a little return of fun or, you know, joy or, you know, just a thing or whatever we spend our time on, or we can invest it. It's important how we make the most of every opportunity. Now, if you're going to make the most of every opportunity, you have to be ready for the opportunity. You got to be prepared. And so there's some planning that needs to go into this thing. You need to think through in advance what's valuable so that when the opportunity comes to spend some time on what is valuable, you'll jump at that chance. You'll learn to know what to say no to, and you'll learn to know what to say yes to, because you've already thought through the best use of your time. You've already realized what's valuable and what's not valuable. So, you know, early in our marriage, I wanted to go to grad school. And I graduated with my bachelor's and thought, you know, I'd like to learn more, grow more in my understanding of God's word. I could be a better pastor. And so I applied to grad school. Some things happened. I had to postpone that a little bit. And I said, okay, I'm going to reapply. And right about then is when we started having children. And our first child, Sandra was pregnant with her. And I started to have to think through this process. For me, and I know this is not for everybody, other people have made different decisions, and that's great. It's up to them. For me, I thought, you know, I can get my post-grad education done really any time. I'm going to have children this age only once. And for me, I said, I'm not going to do grad school. I'm going to make sure I devote every minute I can to the raising of the kids. And you know, now they're older, they're all married, they're all serving Jesus, and I'm still not, I've never enrolled in grad school. Haven't done it yet. Could I still do it? Maybe. But now at this time in my life, like, I'm not sure if it's that important to me. But the kids are all important to me. I made a decision for me what was valuable. I evaluated and I made a choice. And I've never, ever once regretted that choice. We all have to go through that exercise. What's valuable? Now, of course, God will tell us what's valuable in his word. And I looked at God's word, and just for me, some of you are better than I am. You're more wise or intelligent or better time managers, that you've done, you know, grad school and raised kids. I just didn't think I could pull that off, so I didn't. God will tell us what's valuable. He'll let us know how we can make the most of every opportunity. You know, there's a reason why God says this in that verse in Ephesians, because the days are evil. That's why we need to make the most of every opportunity. Now, he's referring specifically to the opportunity of bringing people to Christ. That's what he's saying. The days are evil. People are going nuts. Do we even doubt that today? Is it even a guess that the days are more evil today than they were, you know, 40, 50, 100, 200 years ago? It's the truth, and God's word says they would get more evil. There's no surprise there. So we ought not to be freaking out about what's going on in our world. We ought to be more busy making the most of opportunity in our world. I'm not a real big fan of Christians and the constant gripe sessions about what this politician's doing, that politician's not doing. God's word already said things are going to get crazy. What I would be concerned about is how I'm making the most of every opportunity. Bringing the gospel of peace, the gospel of love, the gospel of grace, the gospel of forgiveness to people around me. That's more important. That's making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. You know, for me, I've made a decision to make sure that the gospel is a part of everything I do. Whether it's my hobbies, whether it's my leisure activity, whether it's people that I know that are not part of Abundant Life. Back when I used to be a coach, I always brought the gospel into my coaching. And you know, God has done some really powerful things of seeing people come to Jesus through that. Now, you know, a lot of folks can do the exact same things I'm doing, but not bring the gospel in. And it's not making the most of every opportunity. But I can do the same things and make the most of every opportunity. It's whether or not you see what you're doing and use what you're doing as a ministry. And you can use everything you're doing right now, as your ministry when you use it to make the most of every opportunity for eternity. Let me just give you five quick things of how you might think through how to discern what the best opportunity is. Just ask yourself these five questions. How important is it? Now that's according to God's values, okay? How important is it? Okay, number two. Is this the right time for this? Is this the right time? Timing is everything. Number three, how much time will it require? Sometimes if you spend a lot of time on something that's not according to God's purposes, you forfeit something else. Number four, how much time do I have? You can't spend resources you don't have. How much do you have to be able to invest in this particular time or thing or person? Number five, what will I have to give up in order to do it? Whatever you say yes to, you're saying no to something else. When you spend your time in one way, you're not spending it in another way. Ask these five questions of yourself when you're making a decision of whether or not to spend that time. And some of us need to ask those questions daily, because it may be a lot of time wasted, a lot of procrastination, a lot of, doing something that's not so urgent, important at the moment, and we're doing other things and missing opportunities. So transformation step here. I will look for opportunities to invest my time wisely. First step, you have a finite amount of time. Transformation step, I'm going to thank God for every 24 hours and use them for his purpose. The second one, make the most of every opportunity and look for those ways to invest your time. And third, strive for balance. Strive for balance. Time management is the art of being less anxious and more balanced in everyday life. Let me read you a passage out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. That's powerful. This is a passage about balance. There's a time to do this and a time to do that, a time to do this, a time to do that. We've got to learn to balance the timing and to understand that there's a right season and a wrong season. You don't tear down what is new. You tear down what is old. You don't dance, and though dancing is fun, you can't dance all the time because there's a time to mourn. If you dance at a memorial service, probably isn't the right thing to do. There's a time to be silent when silence is appropriate. There's also a time to speak up when silence would be inappropriate. There's a time for everything under the sun. Jesus preached a lot. He also pulled away with his disciples a lot. And then he got alone a lot. Jesus was the master at balancing everything. Let's talk about balance in this last portion here. The first bullet point, you've got to learn to balance work and rest. You've got to learn to balance work and rest. And this is a warning for all of us that if we're going to balance work and rest, that we're going to have to admit something to ourselves. And I'm pretty sure we all are caught in this particular thing here, that we have a love-hate relationship with busyness. We really do. That I know all of us are saying, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I need more time. Oh, my life is crazy. I just wish the time would slow down and my schedule would slow down. And that's true. You really would like more freedom, but let's just be honest. We kind of like the busyness. I mean, right now when we're sheltered in place, and I know some of you are still crazy busy because you're still working a lot and you got kids in the house and it's nuts. For others of you, the timing and the schedule has gotten slower. The pace has gotten slower. And you're probably getting a little stir crazy. That you kind of have that, I wish it was busier. I kind of have that love-hate relationship with busyness, because if we admit it, it's this. Busy people seem more important, don't they? Busy people get things done. Busy people are more successful. Don't we think that? At least in the back of our mind? So we've got to learn to realize, listen, you're more important to God no matter if you're busy or not. Now, it's not an excuse to be lazy, but it's how we find our value. You're not more valuable to God because you're busy. You're not more important to God because you're busy. As a matter of fact, you might be more successful in making money, but a lot less successful in raising a good family. See, it all depends on what we really see as important and successful. We've got to learn to balance work and rest. Now, there definitely is a balance. There's a time to work hard, and there's a time to rest well. But if we work all the time, we're out of balance. If we rest all the time, that's lazy, and we're out of balance. There's a time to work and a time to rest. God gave us a Sabbath for a reason. God wants us to take vacation. God wants us to say no to work at off hours so that we can spend it with our family and unwinding. We've got to find that balance between work and rest. Build some margin into your life. I got a bad habit of seeing an open date and I'll schedule it. I'm learning now, if that date's open, that's scheduled. That's my margin. Something may come up where I need that time. Or I do nothing because I need the rest. I need to build the balance in my life. You got to say no to the tyranny of the busy. Second bullet point, you got to learn to balance planning and trusting. Planning and trusting. See, there's a time to plan, and I'll even add the word in pray. A time to plan, pray, and a time to trust and do. But there's a time for both. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed. And he said, okay, done praying. Let's go do it. It's time. Let's go to finish what I've set out to do. Now, it's not an excuse not to plan. What I found is this, that the people who seem to plan and pray, for some reason, seem to get God's answers more than the people who don't plan and just say, oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trusting God, just leaving it in God's hands, and you're just basically using that as an excuse to not plan and be diligent and you're lazy. You got to plan. Here's what I like to say to myself. Plan and pray as if everything depends on me. Trust as if everything depends on God. That helps me have that balance. I'm going to do my best, but then I can't control it, so I got to trust God. My favorite story on this is the two kids, a brother and a sister, who were on their way to school, and they catch the bus to go to school. And they were late this particular day, and they could see that they were going to be really, really close, and they had to run for the bus stop. And the little girl said to the brother, brother, why don't we stop and pray that we don't miss the bus? And brother said, why don't we pray while we run? That's a good balance. We got to work and we've got to do what God has called us to do, but we've got to trust him at the same time. And we got to build that balance into our lives. Third bullet point, we have to balance our schedule and our relationships. Our schedule and our relationships. Have you noticed that you can't always schedule your relationships? You can't. Relationships are fluid. You can't schedule them. Listen, guy, it's Mother's Day today. If you go to your wife, who's also a mother, and say, you know, babe, we really need to work on our relationship. I'm going to schedule a time for us to talk from 8 to 8.05 this evening. Well, you might as well schedule the argument from 8 to 11, because that's what's going to happen. Because you can't schedule relationships. Relationships are fluid. You got to kind of take them as they come. You can schedule appointments at work, but real deep relationships can sometimes get messy and they spill out all over the place. You've got to learn to build that balance. Now we know that sometimes you got to schedule. Sometimes you have to say, you know, I would love to spend the time, but this is what I have to do. But there are other times when you have to say, you know what? I'm not doing that because this relationship is most important right now. Jesus was the master at this, that he would be doing something and then someone else would come and he would stop and he would give his attention elsewhere and he would build that relationship and do something kind for somebody. That we've got to build that balance between our schedule and relationship. I've tried to schedule my days very rigidly, and you know what? That lasts like 3 days because things come in and it disrupts my schedule. And I can't freak out about that. I can't be stressed and anxious about, oh no, now my schedule's a mess. Listen, that's called life. It's going to happen. Relationships can get a little crazy and a little messy. And parents, have you noticed your kids don't care about your schedule? Your two-year-old doesn't care about your schedule. You're on their schedule. I'm watching my daughter raise a two-year-old. She's not in charge. My son-in-law's not in charge. The two-year-old's in charge. When he gets up, you're up. When he wants to be fed, you're feeding him. When it's time for a nap, you're putting him. It's the way it is, and you're building a relationship. And then when they grow up, then it can change, and you can start to put them on your schedule. It's the way that works. This is why you've got to figure out right priorities. What's the priority? At this moment, the schedule or the relationship? And then you go back to point two. Ask yourself those five questions. And that will help you to realize maybe this schedule can just take a breather. And maybe this relationship is really what I need to do. Last bullet point on this. And it's very similar to the previous one. But we have to schedule or balance our discipline versus flexibility. This one will help schedule a relationship. But discipline and flexibility. We've got to be disciplined to get the task done, but flexible when it doesn't work out. Some of us don't like flexibility. We're rigid. Well, you know, rigid things snap. You ever like taken a twig that's rigid? It's easy to break that. How about a young, full of life, supple branch? Well, you can bend it all different ways and it never breaks. We've got to be flexible like that because life will not abide by your schedule. So we've got to learn the balance between discipline and being flexible. Some of us have our lives so disciplined that you're uptight all the time. It's just gotta do it. And you're just crazy uptight that you've made the most. You get more time out of every day than anybody else, but you're going to die 20 years earlier because you stressed yourself out because you're not flexible. Why not find the balance between the two? We need to find that. Maybe some of you say, and maybe in the chat bar, you say, could I be a little more flexible? Now, on the other hand, some of you are way too flexible to the point where everybody else's schedule runs your life. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Oh, sure, I'll be there. Oh, sure, I can help with that. Oh, sure. And you never get anything done that you need to get done. So there's balance between your discipline and your flexibility. There's things you need to do, so you say no to something else. There's sometimes you need to be flexible and say yes, which means you'll put off what you're going to do for a moment. Jesus was the most balanced person on the face of the earth. He took time to pray. He took time to be with his disciples. He took time to be with the crowd. And read the Gospels and see how many times Jesus was on his way, and while on his way, he went somewhere else. He was flexible. My favorite story about this is Zacchaeus. He's on his way somewhere, and he looks up and he sees this little guy up in the tree. And he says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house, and I'm going to stay a couple of days. And Zacchaeus met Jesus during those couple of days, changed his eternity. He invested his time, and Zacchaeus' life was changed forever. Jesus was flexible. We need to be a bit balanced in how we are disciplined and how we are flexible. Transformation step here. I will evaluate my time and strive for a godly, well-rounded, I didn't put the word balanced, it should be in there, a godly, well-rounded, balanced life. Guys, this is important because you know, you can't make any more time. You can eat right, you can exercise right, you can take care, you know, take your vitamins, you can do everything you can do, and that's not going to guarantee one more day. Because we just don't know. You see, time management really is about living without regrets. Do you have regrets? To me, the word regret is the ugliest, most vicious six-letter word in the English language. Because it's a word that says it's over. You can't go back and fix that. It's been done, it's been said, or it's not been done, and it's too late. I have a regret. Now, some you can fix, but there's so many that I wish I'd have done it different. Why not start today doing it different? I've learned that. I've learned you can start right now. You know, it's really powerful that taught me this. Actually, Sandra brought this up, and I thought it was so good and so right. She said, have you ever noticed when you go to a memorial service that people tend to focus on the last 10 or 20 years of the person's life? That maybe the person passed away at 80 or 90 years old, and the first 50, 60, 70 years, they get a little memory, but it's actually the majority is what they did with their last few. And I started thinking about that and go, yeah, you know what? The majority of the people I'm really around right now didn't even know me when I was 20, 30. Some of you knew me when I was in my 20s and 30s here at Abundant Life, but very few, just a couple of you. For the majority, all we know is what's more recent. So why not start now? Why not make the change now with how we use our time? That fixed amount of time, making the most of every opportunity, and living a life of balance so that we can please God in everything we do. What hindrances do you have when it comes to time management? What opportunities have you missed? How can you correct those? Have you missed family time because of imbalance? Have you missed even job progress because you got a little lazy and procrastinated? Have you missed something special because you were out of balance in your life? Who or what gets your time? Why do they get your time? Never heard one person at the end of their life say, I wish I'd have spent more time working. We have to work. We've got to be diligent. But everybody says, I wish I'd have spent more time in relationship, family, friends. Let's bring balance because life is evil. Life is crazy. We've got to make the most of our opportunities. Do we eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die? Or do we honor God and enjoy life to please Him? Here's what 1 John 2:17 says. The world and its desires pass away, but the one who does the will of the Father lives forever. You know what I'm glad about? That I really don't have to number my days on this earth. I might have 5,000 whatever days left according to the averages. I might have 10 days left. I might have 10,000 days left. You know what? It really didn't matter because I've got eternity. I have got unlimited days. But I have only a few opportunities left on this earth. Only a few opportunities to touch people, to love people, to reach out and be kind to people. Are we using the time wisely? And when Jesus comes back and says, "What'd you do with the time that I gave you?" I want him to be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You took the time I gave you and you invested it and you changed eternity with the finite amount of time you had." That's the kind of person I want to be. And if you'll use these principles from God's word today, you'll find your time management being transformed into more like the way that God would have you live it. Why not start today on Mother's Day? If you've got your mother available to you, tell her you love her. Tell her she's important. Tell her she's special. Let's make the most of every opportunity. I love you, each and every one of you, so much. And I truly, truly want to see your life transformed. Change our mind, change our life. If we change our mind about time, value it, use it for God's purposes, make the most of every opportunity, live balanced, you're going to find your life is a pleasing one to God. And you'll find yourself more full of joy and peace too. Love you so much. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day. Enjoy it all.